Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study program presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. We want to thank you for joining us today as we examine the truth of God's Word and the answers it holds to life's most important questions. If you have questions about this lesson or would like to study further, please contact us at montevistacoc.com. Now let's open our Bibles and study God's Word together.
Thanks for joining me on the Go and Teach radio program. I'm Ryan Goodwin. I preach for the Monte Vista Church of Christ here in Phoenix, Arizona. I want to start our program today by reading the lyrics to a hymn that we sing every now and then called A New Creature. The first verse says, "Buried with Christ, my blessed Redeemer, dead to the old life of folly and sin, Satan may call, the world may entreat me, there is no voice that answers within." The second stanza says, "Dead unto sin, alive through the Spirit, risen with Him from the gloom of the grave. All things are new, and I am rejoicing in His great love, His power to save." And the third stanza, "Sin hath no more its cruel dominion. Walking in newness of life, I am free. Glorious life of Christ, my Redeemer, which He so richly shareth with me." And the words of the chorus, "Dead to the world, to voices that call me, living anew, obedient but free, dead to the joys that once did enthrall me, yet 'tis not I, Christ liveth in me." These lyrics echo what the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 19, "For through the law I died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered Himself up for me." So dying with Christ is the primary purpose of the plan of redemption, that the believer dies through and with his representative, Jesus Christ. Christ's death represents the death of the believer to the old life of sin, the old life of folly. And it is a life of death, of spiritual death, of physical death. It is a life that has no hope for eternal existence and glory. Now, dying to the old life, dying to sin, is required of us in order to be saved. It should come as no surprise then to find that Christians are represented in the New Testament as those who, in the past, have died with Christ. For example, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "If we died with Him, we will also live with Him." Notice that the Christian is one who has died with Christ, not for Christ or in Christ or because of Christ, but with Christ. He participated in a death with Christ, the believer and the Messiah together in that act. The believer must die with Christ because that's the only way the judicial price for sin can be paid. And we've looked at this in other radio programs in the past, that because of sin, something has to die. Something has to pay the price for my iniquity. Now, I can't save myself because I'm full of the iniquity that I've committed. I'm not good enough to save myself. I'm not wholesome enough, holy enough. According to Romans 3, verse 23, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, which means that the idea of self-derived salvation is ludicrous. Something has to stand in our place. Something has to be sacrificed, or someone must willingly sacrifice himself to pay that penalty. But if the old sinner continues to exist just normally, just as he is, then what has really happened? Somebody paid for my sins, and I didn't really change. Somebody came along and paid a penalty, and I was never reborn. There's not a new me. There's not a new creature. The entire purpose of Jesus coming to earth to be the Lamb of God was so that believers could die with Him, have their sins removed, and finally be reconciled to the Holy God. You and I need to recognize that this is indeed very good news. This is gospel. And we need to be willing to accept the wonderful gift of the Lamb of God. It should also be clear why God would react with wrath toward anyone that would reject the gift of His Son. Let's look at a couple other verses here. Notice Colossians chapter 2 and verse 20. The Apostle Paul says there that Christians have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world. He goes on to say in Colossians 3 and verse 1, "If then you have been raised up with Christ," and by the way, as a side note, we should point out that before you can be raised up, what do you have to do? You can't be raised up if you're already raised up. In order to be raised up, you have to be dead. So again, he says, "If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." You have died. And he says in Galatians 2 verse 20, of course, which we've already read, "I have been crucified with Christ." A couple other references there for you to look at. We'll look at Romans chapter 6 verses 7 and 8 here in a few minutes, but also throw in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14 as one to study on your own time. Notice three things about these passages that we've made reference to. Three things about all of these passages and the death that we have died in Christ. First of all, they're all addressed to Christians, those who are presently in Christ. Second, the terminology refers to the point in time past when one actually became a Christian. Not that you're going to die someday in Christ, but that you did die. You have died with Christ. You, who are saved right now, have died with Christ in the past. And three, the Christian is seen here in these passages. He's represented as one who has died with Christ. Not just died any other way. Not a physical death of some kind. Not a self-derived death. Not some kind of just purely self-sacrificing death. So in all these passages, we're not just talking about somebody who jumped on a live grenade to save somebody else. We're not just talking about somebody who died in a self-sacrificial manner. That does not save you. That does not raise you up in newness of life. As great as that act is, it is not a saving act. It's also clear that believers are not going to have any sin forgiven unless they have died to sin. They have died with Christ. They have been united with Christ in His death, and they have been crucified with Christ. These are all terms that are used in these verses, and they make the point abundantly clear. We must die. We must die. So what is the real question at the heart of all of this that I need to be asking? Well, suppose that you've just heard this gospel message for the very first time. And that could be the case. Maybe you were just going through your AM dial today on your way to do something. You're just out and about, going about the business of life, and you came across this radio program. I'm glad that you did. And I just want to put a plug in that if there's anything at all that you have questions about, please reach out to the Monte Vista Church of Christ. We'd love to sit down and study any of these things together with you face to face with our Bibles open. But let's say that you are listening to the gospel for the first time. You just happen to come across this message. The message that God is holy, that sin separates you from Him, that the price of death is on your head to pay for sin, and that Jesus came to pay that price for you, that by dying with Him, you can have your sins removed, and all of this results in reconciliation to a holy God, the restoration of a perfect relationship with your Creator. If you believed this good news, What question would come to mind at this point? What would you be wondering? If this is the gospel message, that Christ dies for the sinner, then the believer must ask, how or when do I die? How or when does this happen for me? Essentially, what is the next step? I believe that there is a Jesus. I believe that he is the Son of God. I believe in the story of Jesus and the message that he preached, and that I need to respond in some way to be right with him. What do I do next? At what point in my faith do I die to sin? Do I die with Christ? When or how does God view me as united with Christ in death, to be buried with Christ? Well, there are certainly a lot of answers out there from a lot of different religious groups. And you might show up at a church building one day, or go to a Bible study, or listen to somebody else's radio program, and you might hear something different from one preacher to another, from one radio program to another, from one church to another. Why should you believe any of them? Why should you listen to any of them if all of their answers are different? Now, there's nothing about me, personally, nothing special about me that I want you to trust. What I want you to trust is the Word of God. Don't trust me because I'm on the radio. Don't trust somebody else because they're in a position of authority over you. Don't trust another person because he's got a PhD in theology. Trust the Word of God. Listen to the Word of God. So when do we die with Christ? And how does that happen? Let's turn to Romans chapter 6. This is one of the great passages on the subject of dying with Christ, what it means and how and when it happens. Notice, please, verse 1 of Romans 6 in the New Testament. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? Well, that's a great question, isn't it? Imagine using the grace of God as a license to commit sin. I wonder if that would please God. I wonder if that's the kind of attitude that would make God happy. If somebody said, well, if grace is like that, that God forgives me of my sins and grace is so wonderful, well, I should just commit more sins. I should commit so many sins that the grace of God might increase, that the grace of God might abound, that I'll be filled with the grace of God because I have committed so many sins with my hands and my eyes and my voice and my thoughts. Well, Paul immediately answers that with this in verse 2. May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? That's what we're looking for, isn't it? The dying part? Dying to sin? That's what I really want. I don't just want to be forgiven and then left unchanged. I don't just want to be forgiven and left unaltered by the experience of God's grace. For example, let's say you owed $10,000 or $20,000 or $30,000 in debt. Whatever number it is that's massive to you, an amount of money that you don't think you'd ever be able to repay. And your creditor comes to you and he tells you the debt's forgiven. Totally forgiven. No strings attached. I don't need a penny, he tells you. You're free to go. You owe me nothing. That's quite a gift, isn't it? But let's say you get up the next morning and you pull out that old credit card and you start making charges again. You buy stuff online. You go to restaurants that you can't afford. You go get yourself a car that you can't make the payments on. And before you know it, you're $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 in debt again. So you were forgiven. You were given grace. It abounded to you, and the debt was removed from your life. But you were unchanged. Your behaviors didn't change. Your attitudes didn't change. Your habits didn't change. So Paul says here in Romans 6, how shall we who died to sin still live in it? How can any one of us who have been forgiven so very much go on with life unchanged? When we've been forgiven much, how can we continue committing the same sins over and over and over again? So the apostle goes on to say in verse 3, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death?" Well, now we've got another piece of the puzzle, don't we? We're starting to see a complete picture here. Here is the answer to our when and how question. We died to sin when we were baptized into Christ. Not a moment before, not afterward. When we believed the message of the gospel and responded to that belief with obedience in the form of baptism, we die with Christ. That is the end of the old life, the very moment that the old man is crucified, as Paul put it back in Galatians chapter 2. That's the purpose of baptism. It is the act of faith that puts us into Christ by placing us into Christ's death. The entire purpose of his work on earth is summed up in baptism. Now, the Apostle Paul reminded his readers that when they died with Christ, they entered into his death. If you could get into anyone's death, well, you'd be dead too, right? I guess the question then is, why do I need to get into Christ's death? That's because Christ paid the judicial price for sin. And I must pay that same price by dying with him, by being placed into his death along with him. So he says in verse 4, "Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death." That is that baptism is functional in the process of salvation. It's not just merely symbolic. It doesn't just mean something. It does something. Baptism acts upon us as we have responded to the gospel. We have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. A couple of comments here. First, when you are baptized into Christ, when you are baptized into his death, you are buried with Christ into death. Secondly, the result is a brand new life, which kind of answers Nicodemus' question back in the Gospel of John, when Jesus says, to enter the kingdom, you must be born again. And Nicodemus, who happens to be an expert in the scriptures, wonders, well, how can a man be born again? How is that even possible? Well, this is how it's possible. Because you were born a physical life, and at some point in that physical life, you chose to sin. You fell from grace. You fell from innocence. The innocence of childhood, the innocence of ignorance. And once you knew what sin was, just like Adam and Eve chose to partake of the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you also partook of that tree's fruit. And you fell. You lived a life of sin. And it is only in baptism that that old life of sin is crucified and buried for good, so that you can then be raised up with Christ in a new life. And it's not just about the death either. The Apostle Paul goes on to say in verse 5 that there's an incredible and hopeful and optimistic promise attached to this death. It's not just that you die to the old man, to the ways of sin. Look what he says here in verse 5. "For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." And it's precisely when you are united with Christ in the likeness of his death that you get to enjoy the likeness of his resurrection, the renewal. So let's use our imaginations now, and let's think about this. Think about the imagery here, that Jesus lived his life and came to the cross. The cross was the pivotal moment. After the cross, he was buried in a physical tomb, an actual grave hewn from the rock. And he spent 3 days and three nights in that tomb. After that, he was raised up in newness of life. New physical life, that is to say, where once he was physically dead, now he's physically alive. And he lived that newness of life out until he ascended to the Father to be with him at his right hand. Our death, burial, and resurrection follows the same pattern. We live our physical lives until we come into contact with the cross by hearing the gospel message. And we have a choice to make then. Do we respond or not? When we respond with belief in baptism, we're buried in a watery grave, not a physical tomb the way Jesus was, but a watery grave in a baptistry or a creek or a lake or wherever it is that you can find enough water. And then we're raised up from that watery grave in newness of life, just like Jesus was, so that we could spend the rest of our days on earth confident in the promise of an ascension to heaven. And we'll get to enjoy fellowship, communion with the Father in that heavenly abode through Jesus Christ. What a joy that will be. Verse 6 of Romans 6. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Precisely when does God consider you crucified with Christ? That's another pivotal question. Is it before? Or is it after baptism? It is when you are baptized into Christ. When you are baptized into Christ, you are baptized into his death. And all this results in your body of sin being done away with, buried and left behind. Verse 7, for he who has died is freed from sin. And what a beautiful promise that is, isn't it? You and I are freed from our sins. We're not just forgiven. We're freed from them. Our sins are removed from us, and we are freed from the eternal consequences of those sins. But not just eternally, but in this life as well, we are freed from the guilt of those sins. And while it is true that getting baptized doesn't just magically make debt go away or magically make a prison sentence go away, there certainly is something to be said about facing earthly consequences with the full knowledge that your eternal consequence for sin has been totally, totally removed. Verse 8 and 9. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. When does God view you as dying with Christ? Well, when you're baptized. When you're baptized into his death. Don't let the importance of this verse escape you. For the entire purpose of Christ coming to earth to be the sacrificial lamb of God and pay the judicial price of sin was so that you could die with him and be reconciled to a holy God. And knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, death no longer is master over him. And because death is no longer master over him, it is no longer master over us as well. For the death that he died, in verse 10, he died to sin once for all. Once for all. He didn't need to die over and over and over again, and we don't either. If we're baptized for the right reasons, in the right way, one baptism is enough. You don't have to come back once a year and get rebaptized. You don't have to come back 10 years later, 20 years later. If you know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you are fully immersed in water to have your sins removed, that's all. That is enough. That is the power of Christ. And listen to the confidence here in verse 11. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Verse 12, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. So now we get to the stated purpose of the entire radio program. Stop sinning. Now that you've died with Christ and your sins are removed, you should have a different attitude towards sin. Now, I told you earlier, you might hear a lot of different answers about how we die with Christ and we're raised up with him. You can go to one church over here, or listen to another radio program, or read something on the internet. But is it Romans 6? And what do you think of Romans 6? If that's gospel, if that's scripture, then that's the only voice that matters. Not mine, not anybody else's. Listen to what God has to say in passages like Romans 6. And if you'd like to study this further, if you have questions or you're curious about other topics, please reach out to us and let's study the Word of God together.
Thank you for joining us today. To hear this program again, please visit our website at montevistacoc.com. If you're in the Phoenix area, come visit us at the Monte Vista Church of Christ. We're located at 2202 North 40th Street. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and again on Wednesday night at 7. For more information about the Monte Vista Church of Christ or to request a personal Bible study, please go to montevistacoc.com. Amen.